Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Hitting the Hardwood. From mock drafts to summer league, every detail that is the NBA draft can only be heard here. Hitting the Hardwood with DeShawn Tate and Gordon Robinson.
Hitting the Hardwood is back. DeShawn Tate with you. Gordon Robinson. That's right. Yeah. D-Tate. My dude, G-Rob, man, talking nothing but the most and the best. 110% NBA draft, NBA free agency, NBA summer league, all of the above for the next 30 minutes with you guys. Let's get the social media handle stuff out of the way real quick while we're at it. At Tate's Take Sports on the IG as well as on the Twitter. That's at Tate's Take Sports, T-A-T-E-S-T-A-K-E Sports.
And on Twitter, man, you can holler at your boy at G Robinson Sports. And then on Instagram, you can also check me out at the.commissioner.gordon.
Yes, indeed. I want to jump right into this stuff, man, because we don't have a lot of time. We got a lot of stuff to get to, G Rob, realistically speaking.
Twitter. At HitHardwood929.
There we go. That's what I needed from my dude, man. He got my back. You know what I'm saying? Michael Pippen. He could be Mike. I could be Pippen, whatever, with the big nose. At HitHardwood929. That's at HitHardwood929. Now, real quick, let me give you a little bit of a rundown. Give you a little bit of a recap, if you will, of our picks. Very brief. On that for the 1 through 5 selections for the NBA draft and the lottery. And then we're going to preview the 6 through 10 slots of that. Then you got Trae Young, obviously the dude. We start getting more into our Atlanta Hawks segment, if you will. Came out and talked a little bit about how he wants to pitch some things to maybe get some free agents to come over and play with him. I think that'll be pretty awesome over at the outstanding State Farm Arena. In addition to that, you know, who do you want? Because everybody talks about who do the Hawks need or who does, you know, who's the best available player at that time for the Hawks? Right. Who do you want to be here in
Zion.
Atlanta? Yeah, of course. I think everybody, not everybody, how they said in the South, everybody.
Everybody
want a Zion Williamson. We're going to talk a little bit about who's standing tall in the draft, maybe a couple point guards and even the Memphis Grizzlies a little bit, maybe Ja Morant, that they're kind of leaning towards favoring him, or are they just blowing smoke? We'll get into all that real quick. Probably the most fascinating name, G-Rob, that I've seen so far of guys who, because there's always going to be that one guy that leaves and goes to the NBA, and you're like, what? Right. I think I'm going to put my name in the hats if this dude can go. Marquise Bolden. From Duke, put his name in him and another one of his teammates in Javon Delorier, and that decision hasn't been made yet. But the one has been made from Marquise Bolden, and that's that one that makes me say, you know what? I've had it up here at this radio station. I think I'm about to just try and make this thing work, man. I'm about to go work out for a team.
Now, do you think that comes from the recruiting class that Duke has brought in for next season, that he knows that? Because there's a lot of times where you see what's going on around you and you're very aware of the situation,
mm-hmm.
and you're very self-aware. And if you know that you're still not going to get the time that you believe that it takes to be the guy that you may think that you are,
mm-hmm.
or to get to the level where you're trying to be, you look around at some point in time and say, I'm going to bet on me at these combines and at these camps to see if I can get my name noticed so I can get in the slide into the second round and get in there and make a name for myself once I'm in the league, as opposed to just me being washed out of the system because Duke is bringing in guy after guy, All-American after All-American.
And that's a strong possibility, and I'm not mad at that. I respect that. But sometimes you got to be realistic with yourself too. Now, the one thing I think he has going for himself, which I really don't think, just because we are talking – about Marquise Bolden, which we've already been talking about him too long in my personal opinion, but is that this is an NBA draft that's pretty weak.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is the watered down drink at the bar. You know what I'm saying? So that might help him out maybe in the second round and maybe get him a look, but that's just as good or bad, depending on if you look at your glass half full or empty, that you basically just about to try and walk on the team just like the same way everybody else does that got picked exactly. In between number 31 and 60. So, I mean, I don't know. Best of luck to him, I guess, from that standpoint, but that's enough of talk with him. Real quick, we're going to get into our mock draft for picks number 6 through 10. Obviously, I had Zion number 1, RJ Barrett number 2. This is not necessarily what they might do. This is what we would do if we were the NBA GMs. We both had Zion Williamson, me and G-Rob. I had RJ Barrett at 2nd. He had RJ Barrett 3rd to the Knicks, but he had John Morant 2nd, where I had John Morant 3rd. 2nd is with the Memphis Grizzlies. Talk about them a little bit more later. Cam Reddish at number 4 for him. Right. I picked DeAndre Hunter at 4. He picked Jared Culver at 5. And that's also where I picked Jared Culver. So that's where we agree upon that. 6 through 10.
Yep.
G-Rob, what you looking at?
Well, Phoenix, man, I think they're going to go with someone who can be a backcourt mate with Book, man, who can score, who can distribute the ball. And I'm going Darius Garland, Vanderbilt.
I had a chance to see that dude on
the commissioners.
No, oh yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. The delivery. No, I had a chance to check out Darius Garland, man, at the Nike EYBL grassroots circuit a couple years ago, and I mean he was all right. You know what I mean? He did pretty good, but then towards the end they ended up losing the game, and it was because of him. And that just didn't sit right with me, and didn't look good.
You said it was a couple years ago.
And it was. But guess what? That's the last time that most people have seen him play, because last year he was at Vanderbilt and played less than a handful of games.
Right.
And then, obviously he got injured, and he's being drafted right now based on those kind of performances, which are high school performances.
Exactly. Exactly. And those young guys come in, and basically, for the most part, most of these guys are going off of name recognition. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you've had strong put like a DeAndre Hunter who came in and absolutely tore up the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
Unless you have one of those runs, everyone is pretty much going off of, like, you knew Zion was going to be number 1 for the most part. You knew Zion, RJ, a lot of these guys were going
to be. Are you talking about prior to college basketball?
Yes.
Not necessarily though.
Really?
Not necessarily, and I'll tell you why. I remember going into the college basketball season, not only was Zion Williamson not even ranked the number 1 player in the country, I mean, that was RJ Barrett.
Well, he was.
Once he reclassified.
He wasn't ranked number 1, but he was ranked number 2.
Yeah, he was, but as we were all, hold on. Because there was a lot of, as dominating as he was, there was also a lot of question marks about what type of basketball player he is. Everybody knew about the athletic ability that he has. But you'll be surprised.
Sensation.
You'll be surprised. And I texted underboss Sean Thompson this the other day. I should have sent it to your phone. It was March 2018. NBADraft.net had put out their mock draft for the year that's coming up this year.
Right.
So they were a year early. And they have Bruno Fernando number 2.
Really?
Bruno Fernando from Maryland, who's probably might not even end up being a lottery pick this year, which isn't terrible for him. But nevertheless, and I want to ask you something about this real quick before we get into the rest of the top 10. I don't want to take up too much time. As far as domination, who do you think, and I was having this conversation with my cousin the other day, who do you think that you've seen with your two eyes that has the most dominant effect on the game that you have seen? Zion Williamson in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the guys he was playing against.
Right.
Or Shaquille O'Neal on the NBA level in his prime?
Man.
Because it looked like Zion was out there playing with preschoolers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it did. And I think I said this last year about this time when we were talking about Zion. And I was basically saying that I, playing in a private school league, anytime you play, Julius Randle, I said the same thing about him. Guys like that, when you watch these highlights and you look around and you see 5'8", I won't call out races, but when you see 5'8 kids and he's blocking shots and throwing them like he's playing, like basically a man amongst boys.
Mm-hmm.
When anytime you see that, man, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because you don't know exactly how that'll transition to when you actually play with guys your same age, your same size, quickness, skill level,
it's okay, G-Rob. I mean, go for it, man. You can say it, man. He was out there playing with little white kids,
yeah,
man.
Out there
what it was. I can say that. I'm half and half. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can do that, bro. You know what I mean? Arnold Palmer, bro. Lemonade and sweet tea. You know what I'm saying? You listening to the Hitting the Hardwood podcast, man. Deshaun Tate, Gordon Robinson, King Back, talking about our mock draft for the NBA draft.
But I will say, I have never seen, outside of MJ, a guy who, while he was in shape, while he was determined to play, because Shaq had his moments when he was determined that he was going to win, mm-hmm. and there wasn't a damn
nobody
thing
gonna
he could
stop
do
him.
About it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was because of whether it was the Kings, whether it was the Sixers,
that's right.
Whether it didn't matter who it was at the time, the only person that I saw that he couldn't actually impose his will on was probably the Rockets, and that's when he was a young guy.
Against Hakeem, I used to love watching Shaq back somebody down in the post and turn around and try and dunk on him, and somebody end up blocking his shot back in his face, but he gets it back, and what he about to do to you on the next play.
He might break your arm.
No. Like, you're going to get hurt, and you're playing defense. Number six, you took Darius Garland there.
Yes, sir.
I like Kobe White right there. I like Kobe White. I like Kobe White from North Carolina right there, man. Just for what they need,
mm-hmm.
they need a point guard. He's a guy to play point. He got good size, about 6'5".
Right.
He's not a terrible shooter. He turns the ball over sometimes a little bit more than I like him to. Any freshman point guard, you could probably
exactly.
say that much about. But I just like what he brings to the table, man. The problem is, and I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but much like Russell Westbrook, he only knows one speed all the time. And that kind of reminds me of a guy like a Derrick Rose like that too. Not so much athletic ability, but in terms of controlling tempo, they're not really the best when it comes to, you know, like I said, controlling the tempo and the pace of the game.
Can
you gotta
I fast
be really
forward a little bit?
In shape. Go ahead.
Because everything you've just said.
Sure.
Is the reason why I have him at number 9.
Really?
To the Washington Wizards.
Wow.
Because he's the exact. I think they're.
Sounds like John Wall all over again.
All
only
over
know
again.
One speed. Okay.
You know
respect,
what I'm saying?
Respect.
That's the exact same reason why I have him at number 9. Because I feel that they've seen, okay, we do still like the John Wall type player.
Sure.
We just don't really want
John Wall. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Same thing. But I put him at the Wizards.
At number 7, the Chicago Bulls, I went with Nasir Little right there. And this is one of the weird things about it. Actually, that's back-to-back North Carolina picks for me right there. But the thing is about Nasir Little is he came in McDonald's All-American, MVP, and looked really unstoppable. And then he comes into North Carolina, and from day one, everybody's wondering what the heck's going on because the red flags start coming up. He's not in the starting lineup. He really didn't start for the majority of all season long, but he finished off the college basketball, the March Madness, really well with a 20-point performances. But my concern, and he's very athletic. He's a good player. He plays above the
rim. Super athletic.
He plays above the rim. He plays bigger than what he actually is, at which I think he probably stands somewhere right around like 6'6". Or something like that.
Right.
But I don't know how to feel, and a couple people asked me about this with the Atlanta Hawks picking him up. I don't know how to feel about taking a dude that didn't even start on his team in the lottery, where most people, you're taking them in the lottery, you need them to be starters on an NBA team. Now, when people ask me about the Hawks picking him up, I'm like, they already seen an issue like that before
with Marvin Williams.
Same program, by the way. Same school. I don't think I like that chance.
Marvin Williams.
I do think that he does have that kind of upside that you can't ignore, and that's why I like him at number 7 to the Bulls.
Well, to the Bulls, I picked what I have is probably the next best player available, which is DeAndre Hunter.
Okay.
And I think they just can't pass up that size, the length, the versatility. I think that's somebody that'll fit in the Bulls system.
I do like DeAndre Hunter, man. Lengthy, not the greatest shooter, but I don't think that he's necessarily a terrible shooter.
Right. I don't think he's not. And once again, unless you're Ben Simmons, that's something that you can add.
That's true. That's true. And some of the guys won't never have that. Like, not everybody's going to be that. And I know that today's NBA is inching towards that a little bit more. Let's go ahead and start speeding up through some of this stuff. I like, at number 8, I'm just going to keep it straight up funky with you, man. I like Cam Reddish right there. I hope that he falls to number 8. Now, one of the more bigger questions is, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, the kind of problem that the Atlanta Hawks are in if Jarrett Culver, DeAndre Hunter, mm-hmm. and Cam Reddish, if none of those three are at that number 8 spot. But I really do like Cam Reddish right there.
And
I got a source that's really close to the situation has been telling me all season long that they really, really like Cam Reddish. I know that he's been working out with some teams over the course of the last week or two. All of my notifications on my phone have been doing nothing but raving good things. While there's been some comparisons that I made about him and Rudy Gay, I think that there are some to him and Paul George as well.
And while I would love for Cam to be an Atlanta Hawk, I mean, that's one of the guys that we talked about last podcast.
Sure.
That we would love to be in the system and how he would fit in terms of being a guy on the wing. We talked about his upside, his downside. I think that Trey's leadership and Trey being in the league already and understanding what it, I think he can motivate. He can find a way to motivate Cam Reddish and just create that fun atmosphere that'll be good, that'll have everybody in sync. But if Cam is out, if Hunter's out, if Culver's out,
sure,
I have us picking Jackson Hayes,
really?
Big man from Texas. I think he's almost a clone.
You didn't hear me almost throw up on
him.
Yeah,
I heard you, man. almost a John Collins type clone, but I think you can use both of those two in the front court, almost interchangeable. That athleticism, I think the fast-paced game that the Hawks have shown that they want to play, you're going to need those type of guys. You're going to need size. You're going to need length. And you're going to need guys who are going to be athletic that can run the floor, catch the ball, put it back. Guys are going to be putting shots up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need those
somebody,
guys.
Garbage basket.
Grab it here, put it back. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that even though he's raw, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
He's raw and he can get one thing that.
That's what she said, by the way.
I
had to do it.
Has shown that he can develop guys. You know what I'm saying? That's been his MO. That's why we brought him here to Atlanta, because of his player development.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he would be one of those guys that Coach Pierce would love to bring under his wing and kind of mold into the type of player that he would want him to be.
Here's my thing with Jackson Hayes, because everybody's been raving about this kid, especially him to the Atlanta Hawks. I don't see it. I actually thought that Jericho Sims, which is one of his teammates at Texas, it's probably a little bit better than he was. But everybody talks about the rim protection. I know that that's something that the Atlanta Hawks probably need. I don't think that they're in desperate need of it. But I think that's where you challenge guys like John Collins to step his game up on defense a little bit more. Because you're not about to have this rookie come in after you've been here for 3 years and then now he's a harder worker on the defensive end than you.
Well,
no, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case. I just think that what they would do is – you have your offensive guys. And I mean, it's not to say it's football, but you have your offensive guys and you have your defensive guys.
Sure.
And he probably won't start, which would be odd for a number 8 pick, but he probably won't start. But he'd be a guy that you would be bringing off the bench in terms of the depth.
And that's fine because Cam Reddish probably wouldn't be a starter right off the rip like that either necessarily, just depending on how things are going with, on the roster. But with all of that said, you know, Jackson Hayes, I know that they want, you know, that rim protection. I think that's something that the Hawks can go and get in the second round, maybe like a Kenny Wooten or somebody like that from Oregon that can give you some similar energy and a better offensive player and can do all the same things that he can do. But when you start talking about Cam Reddish, just the total package, he probably has, if not the best total package of anybody in this draft in terms of scoring and his ability to play defense if you can get him to buy in, how lengthy he is shooting the ball. You name everything as far as like slashing, rebounding, like a little bit of everything.
Now, was it you or someone else who sent me a link? And I think it was
somebody's workouts.
No. It sent me a link and it was Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
And a bunch of other guys.
That was me. A lot of couple Kentucky players.
Yeah, a lot of guys that were at camp, and they were just talking about who was like the toughest guard or who was one of the most outstanding players that they've competed against. And
yeah, the cameraman asked it.
Right.
The cameraman asked it. Was it like overtime or somebody? And he was
Ball is Life, something.
One of those sites or something. And I mean, dude, when I say like all of the guys who've played up against this one particular player that they all have in common was so ready to smack the cameraman for asking the dumb question like that, because they all just hands down, are you kidding me?
Well,
Cam Reddish, without a question.
Yeah.
Like, that was the answer. And I think that that goes a long way. That has at least say something.
When your peers and guys who are coming into the NBA in the future, who we're looking at coming into the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Soon,
yeah.
When that is your answer, there's nothing more that you can say in terms of the respect level.
Oh, for sure.
You because game always recognizes game.
You definitely got to entertain it if Cam Reddish is sitting there at 8, let alone pick him.
Definitely.
Number 9 and 10, let's go ahead and package both of them up because we got some other things to get to.
Well, I gave you 9 already.
You gave me 9 already. I'm going to take, with the Washington Wizards, I'm going to go with Romeo Langford right there, man. I know that might be a little bit high sometimes for some people. I don't think he necessarily seemed like he played with the passion or the aggression, rather, that a lot of people think that he should play with, but that's just not going to be every player. Some players are going to be
a smooth guy, though, man.
Yeah, and he is. And I'm going to tell you what he kind of reminds me of out there. And I'm not saying he plays just like this guy, but his demeanor. It's almost like Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't show a lot of passion. He doesn't get amped up and all that, but he goes out there and he plays ball. Who you got for number 10?
That's where I'm stuck, man.
Okay.
I'm stuck between 3 players, and we've talked about one already.
All right.
That I have, Bobo ideally would definitely fit in the system. Like, if you took away his injury. If you took away the injury, man, I would lock it in. That would give the Hawks the floor spacing.
Sure.
That would give the Hawks the versatility.
And some length on defense.
He's athletic enough that he could even put the ball on the floor.
Sure.
And kind of get to the basket if need be.
Oh, for sure.
But you have to factor in those injuries, man. And I'm just not a guy who can sit there and tell you that I would take a 7-footer with foot injuries, ankle injuries, knee injuries. I would typically stay away from that. But typically, like, I love the idealism of having Bobo.
Mm-hmm. Having that option.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my next two is Sekou Doumbouya. I've watched a few highlights.
Okay. And all of them gonna look good.
Well, naturally.
What are they highlights?
The highlights, right. Yeah. You know, we can go down to the park. We can go down to the park.
And put my highlights
and you can cut
there.
Up some stuff about G.
Yeah.
And I show you what you need. But
what you got, G? You got a nice little a jump shot? What you got, G? Jump, I know we played them together before.
I'm getting a little up there in age, man. I used to be a little riser. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
you
okay, okay.
And closer and closer I get to 40, the closer and closer I get to the floor.
Yeah. The closer you get to 40, the closer we get to a 40.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
So, but yeah, Doumbouya, we've seen highlights. I like his athleticism. You know what I'm saying? I do like that. I like his length and I like his age. I like the fact that we're still talking about a relatively young guy. Mm-hmm. And this may be, I don't want to call it a makeup call.
Sure.
But this may be the Luka Doncic makeup call.
I was going to say, you know what I'm saying? That's funny you say that. I was going to say the same thing is that this is the year. If you're an international player, this is the year that you want to be coming out.
You want to jump on that train.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You want to eat up based on Luka and what he did. You don't want to be one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? You want to be able to put your name, your name in the hat and get into the mix a little bit. And not only that, but this is just the perfect draft for it, too, considering the lack of, depth and things like that.
Do we know if Luka made his way back to Dallas? Because after he got smashed upside his head.
You know what? I couldn't tell you.
Come on, back to the States. Luka.
I wish I could say.
Get out the hood, man. Get out the hood.
We said, get out the hood, man.
That's what they tell us. You got to get out the hood, man.
Yeah, you got to get out of there.
Get out the hood, Luka.
We can take you out the hood. That don't mean we got to take the hood out of you, but we got to get you out the hood.
Get you out the hood.
That's real. Number 10, I'm going to go with Keldon Johnson. I think you go with another wing if you can get Cam Reddish. You go with 2 wings. If you've been one that rim protector, like everybody was talking about, Jackson Hayes not out there. You can get that in the second round. I really, really like a guy like Keldon Johnson, man. The way he can space the floor, long arms. I think Duke can probably tie his shoes, man, standing up. That's how long his arms is, man. But you know what I'm saying? Just how aggressive he is, and he's a very confident player, and you can see that in the way that he plays. I think that's going to wrap it up, man, as far as – because I know we don't have a lot of time left. So that will actually conclude our mock draft for – picks 6 through 10, and for the Atlanta Hawks, who will draft also at 35, 41, and 44 in the second round. But just kind of moving forward, talking about some other teams or organizations within the NBA draft, there's been some rumors swirling that the Memphis Grizzlies are favoring Ja Morant. You believe in that? You think they're blowing smoke? What's the deal?
No, I believe in it just simply because I would take Ja Morant because you want to go in a new direction. I think Mike Conley, that whole situation has run its course to be honest with you.
With that hefty contract.
With that contract. I mean, you want to get younger. And
that's a hefty contract. Every time I hear Mike Conley, and I respect it,
not just
but every
contract.
Time I hear that name, I always think of Sloppy Joe, like something hearty, something just heavy on you. You know what I'm saying? Like Grandma Sloppy Joe's. You know what I'm saying?
My issue for Conley has always been he's never been a dynamic player.
Mm.
Like he's never been a dynamic player. Were they lining up in Memphis
right.
to see
right,
Mike
right.
Conley?
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? And then he was always injured.
Who was the dude that the Hawks drafted and they called him Contract? John Conkak.
Yeah.
So we go from John Contract to
Mike Contract.
To Mike Contract. My dude.
Mike Contract.
My dude G-Rob, man.
Yeah, man.
I just always thought that RJ Barrett was definitely the most fitting for a number two pick in this draft. And for me, just DeSean Tate, little Tate's take here. If he wasn't going to be that guy at number two, I don't think that John Morant, who I don't really believe in all that much, at the next level, and credit him for the stuff that he did this year, and some people are going to think I'm crazy, but I don't think it was enough to knock RJ Barrett out of that number two spot. But again, never, Memphis is trying to rebuild, and you put that with Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., we'll see.
Never underestimate the power of the GM.
Oh, I thought you were about to say the heart of a champion. Go ahead. Because I'm so used to hearing that.
The GM living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these GMs live in the moment, and they can't get out of their own way.
Mm.
You see Ja Morant. You hear comparisons to Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
And you see what basically Russ has done in OKC. And you envision yourself in that area, and you think that if I take a guy who's Russell Westbrook-like, maybe with a better attitude,
who's
I don't
coming
know.
Coming up with these comparisons, bro?
Maybe who has a better attitude, I don't know.
Mm.
And start to build around that maybe I can have what OKC has, which is a team that can reach the NBA playoffs time after time. But if you start to
in the West
build on that, then maybe you can have a squad coming together.
That's like taking a shot of liquor, bro. God, dog, I can't believe I'm hearing Ja Morant and Russell Westbrook. I don't know who's coming up with these comparisons. And I get explosive in this and that. We ain't going to spend too much time on it. But, man, just the life of an NBA GM and decision maker.
And I talk a lot of times about how these GMs, a lot of these rules that get put in place, like the 19 to be in the league and the one, you know, a lot of these.
No doubt.
A lot of these rules are GM protection because these guys are creatures of habit. Not only habit, but they're creatures of not really a superstition, but they look and they see and they want to copy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to copy that. So when I see Kevin Garnett come out and tear up the league and he was 18 years old, I got to think that this Kwame Brown kid.
Yeah, I'm going to be the next thing.
He's going to come out and do the same thing.
Yeah. I thought maybe when I saw, I won't lie, when I saw Darius Miles, I thought it looked so much like KG.
He looked like he was cut from the same
mold. Oh, my goodness. And even like a Lamar Odom-ish kind of.
Right.
In that sense, wow, that's funny that you even say that, man. You take me back. And now last but certainly not least, G-Rob, we've been teasing it and promising it some more, talking about Trey Young and his pitch to free agents. So he came on our radio station here at 929 The Game with one of the regular shows,
right.
I guess you could say, program shows, and gave his pitch, if you will, to some of the free agents. And I would like to hear your pitch. I'll tell you just pretty much what he said. He basically said the equivalent of, you come here to Atlanta, like, there's some big things popping, like some big things going on. I'll make sure that I'll get you the ball. I'm that type of a point guard. I'm that type of a player. I'm that type of a guy. What do you take away from all that? And what would be your pitch to a high profile, as high of a profile? I don't care if it's Thompson. I don't care if it's Leonard. I don't care if it's Kyrie, I don't care if it's KD, I don't care if it's whoever's at the bottom of the totem pole.
If you got Trey, I don't think you're gonna go after Kyrie. But at the same time, I think Trey Young is doing a great job in the fact that Trey has come here to Atlanta. He's been welcomed by the city, and he's embraced the city as well. I think he's developed a little relationship with, like, friendship mm-hmm. with Quavo from the Migos,
yeah.
You know, and so to get that type of atmosphere, like when you come to Atlanta's games, you got 2 Chainz on the sidelines, yep. you got Gucci on
Ain't
the sidelines.
Ain't no telling who you might, yeah.
You got, you know, there's a new movie shooting every day in Atlanta. Yep. So there's no telling you might have a Tom Hanks or anybody on the sideline. And that's
a
selling
club,
point.
Don't forget the script club.
Well, not script. Well, that culture is kind of phasing out.
Oh, is it? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's becoming more in terms of like just regular clubs, like higher end clubs where you just come and you hanging out, you partying, you getting drinks, you buying bottles or whatever, and you just hanging out. Yes, the strip club culture
high
is
high end lounge.
Right. Right.
That type of upscale.
Atlanta's still known for that, but I think that was like the older era, like where when we talked about before at one point in time when we were talking about like a lot of your side chicks being here.
Yeah.
That was like guys would get to Atlanta, they would mess with a couple strippers or whatever, and then things happen, and next thing you know, she's sending that I'm late text.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
So to avoid her, the only time you really want to be in Atlanta
is when you're playing.
When you're playing, so you get in and out, or your homeboy is having
his
birthday.
Yeah, you only hear 2 times out of the year, maybe. Right. Okay.
Your boy is having his birthday. You come in that night,
and don't
you fly
tell
out in the morning.
And don't tell nobody you're coming.
Right. She got to find out later on Instagram tomorrow.
But what do you – I mean, you're an Atlanta native, and we're about to wrap it up, but you're an Atlanta native. I'm not from here. I'm not born and raised here. I've been here, I think, next week, actually. Later on this week, I make 14 years. Like, what do you take away from the biggest reasoning behind why a lot of guys that are high elite talent players, whatever, in free agency don't want to come here to play, or just why they don't? Not even about wanting to. Like, is there too much emphasis being put on the whole, like, you know, a lot of the side pieces live here?
Well,
or
those were
all
excuses.
These guys live here.
Those were excuses. Like you said, those were excuses. I think the main thing was simply because up until recently, Atlanta's ownership has been terrible, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
You know, you had the, I can't remember what the name of it, the Atlanta conglomerate or whatever it was called, where mm-hmm. you had a lot of guys who couldn't decide on and make one decision, where it took 12 guys to make one decision.
Mm-hmm.
That regime is over.
Okay.
So we're starting in a new space. And I think now with Trae Young standing out in front of that saying, hey, it's not what it was. This is a new Atlanta, quote unquote, and you guys should be here because we can take it from here to that next level.
I got you. No, that makes a lot of sense. I know even Jason Terry, we'll talk about this a little bit later on because Travis Link, the GM of the Hawks, said some things too, but Jason Terry, who is one of the people that were drafted by the Hawks in that, what, number 10 spot, I think it was back in 99 or something like that, came out and was talking about, you know, getting free agents to Atlanta and just it's pretty much saying, look, this is a ideal destination in terms of just the growth, the city itself, people, you know, kind of embracing what they're doing from a standpoint of decision making, and Trae Young and John Collins and the organization and with management. The whole nine is much different than the way that it used to be, and obviously is looking up at this point. That's it for Hitting the Hardwood, man.
Yes,
the second episode of the third season of it. Appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure that you're looking out for our next one coming up real soon. Do not forget, whatever you do, hit us up on the Twitter at HitHardwood929. That is at HitHardwood. 929. Also, me, Deshaun Tate, is at Tate's Take Sports on the gram, as well as you can tweet me out that little blue little birdie right there with a nice little avatar cartoon character looking thing of me with my headphones on, all that kind of stuff. Bald head and all, at Tate's Take Sports, TateStake Sports.
At G Robinson Sports, that's on the Twitter and on IG. You can always hit me up and check me out at the.commissioner.gordon. Holla at your boy. Until next time, man, we'll be hitting the hardwood. We'll see you.
No doubt.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.